Amen. Fellowship of the cross, evidence of biblical faith. Now, evidence of biblical faith, we can write a long list, but here are some things that the Lord put on my heart that is evidence of biblical faith, because many people have faith, but it may not be a biblical faith. But when we're talking about having the right faith in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, here are some words that are attached to that. Number one, sacrifice, obedience, humility, discipline, faith, hope, and love. I want to speak to you today about these things in your life. You know, a lot of people, we are created to follow. We are created to lead. There is one individual, you know, everybody is a Facebook or YouTube influencer, and I came across this article this morning. Her name is Mila Sophia. They said she's 19 years old. She's an influencer on social media. She has 100,000 followers. And here recently, an article came out that said she's not even real. She's a AI. She's made up. She's artificial intelligence. There's pictures of her and everything at the beach and all this and all that, but she's not real. She doesn't exist. It's computer generated. And people that follow her are all upset because they did not realize that she is AI, artificial intelligence. But they do not read at the bottom of her website the fine print that says, I am not real. I'm AI generated. You see, that's the problem today. People don't read the fine print of the Bible. People don't read the fine print of who Jesus truly is. They'll follow any Jesus that's been introduced to them. And sadly, there are so many Jesuses in the world, in the churches today. But we need to know the biblical Jesus. And that is what I want to talk to you about today. Because there is only one Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through Christ alone. Amen. I'm not talking about the Jesus that the Baptists preach about. I'm not talking about the Jesus that the Pentecostals preach about. Because I'm going to tell you something. All religion does, all denominations do, is keep you from the biblical Jesus. Amen. We put up the walls and we need to bring the walls down. Right. Amen. All right, I'm telling you, I was raised a Roman Catholic, okay? I got saved at a Pentecostal Assembly of God church, and I went to a Baptist seminary. And I'm going to tell you something. They all amount to a hill, don't amount to a hill of beans. You need to get to the Bible. You need to show yourself an approved worker of Christ. You need to get the love of Jesus in you. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Now, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. Sacrifice, obedience, humility, discipline, faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so what's the power of God in our life, Christian? The cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ. And on that cross is death, but on that cross is life. There is sacrifice, there's obedience, there's humility, there's discipline, faith, hope, and love. It's all on the cross. And Jesus said his followers would humble themselves and follow him daily, carrying their own cross. Meaning they themselves would experience what it means to have sacrifice in their life for the name of Jesus, to have obedience in their life for the name of Jesus, to have humility in their life for the name of Jesus, to have discipline in their life for the name of Jesus, faith, hope, and love for the name of Jesus. You want some power? You want ultimate power? Get to the cross of Jesus. It's the power of God. There are people who are perishing. They are perishing because they think the cross of Jesus is foolishness. And there may be some even in this room and watching online that think this Jesus is foolish. I'm just doing the Jesus thing. Just check off the checklist. And you can fool your husband, you can fool your wife, you can fool your pastor, but you cannot fool the King of Kings. Right. He sifts. If Satan can want to sift the heart, so can the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let me tell you about humility and obedience. I'm going to pick along these things I've talked about this morning. In Philippians 2, 8 through 11, let's speak about the humility and obedience that comes through the biblical Jesus. Paul says to the church in Philippi, he says, "And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those of heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, at that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He humbled himself. He became obedient even beyond death. See, it was humility and obedience that put him on the cross, and it took him off the cross. It raised him from the dead. And when you experience all of these things in the name of Jesus, you too will be raised from the dead. I'm talking about your bad habits. I'm talking about your disobedience. I'm talking about even this generational curses that they say exists. I'm telling you, even the blood is the blood, or the blood is not the blood, but the blood of Jesus will set you free.
Amen.
Now, Jesus demonstrated humility and obedience. He said, "I come to do the will of my" what? "My Father." And we were saved to do the will of our Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is why a lot of preachers do not preach the biblical Jesus, because they have their own will. And they want people in the congregation to do their will, to build their own kingdoms. Look, if you have a problem with what I'm saying, then you have a problem with Jesus, because I'm just passing along the message of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, let me talk to you about sacrifice. Jesus, in Colossians 1, 19 through 20, it says here, "For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." That was the sacrifice of Jesus. It was the sacrifice of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you give your life to Jesus, that's the sacrifice. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, body, and soul. Now, let me tell you something. You better pay attention. You better pay attention, because to have fellowship of the cross, it's intimate. It's real. It transforms you. You got a problem with cussing? You got a problem with smoking? You got a problem with perverse thoughts? You got a problem with on and on and on.
Amen.
Hey, when you get fellowship with the cross of Jesus Christ, those things can be broken in the twinkle of an eye. I believe that with all my heart. Either Jesus is telling the truth or he's a liar. I believe he tells the truth. Now look, let me tell you this. His sacrifice was for all of us. And our sacrifice is for him. But our sacrifice to him encourages others. Our sacrifice to him builds up others. Our obedience to him builds up others. Our humility to him builds up others. Our discipline to him builds up others. Our faith, hope, and love to him builds up others. Your Christianity is not about you, but about others. Jesus said, "I come to serve, not to be served." This is the true Jesus of the Bible. Jesus, when he washed the feet of the disciples, he said, "Now, you don't understand what I'm doing, but one day when you will do this, you'll understand and you'll know what it's like to be blessed, to be a blessing." Amen?
Amen.
You know, we can't just come to the church and say, "What does the Lord have for me?" It's, "What can I do for the Lord, for the body of Christ?"
Amen.
John F. Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country," and they killed him. Our own people killed him. And sadly, even in the church, our own people are killing each other with backbiting and gossip and division. You know, iron's supposed to sharpen iron, but what I see more and more is we're killing each other. And Satan doesn't have to do anything. He just laughs. But when we sacrifice and when we do things for with the right heart, for the right name of Jesus Christ, guys, you're going to see life and not death. You're going to see life and not death. Now, in Luke 9:23, let's talk about faith, sacrifice, and humility towards us. We've seen how Christ displays it on the cross, how Christ did it. But look, Luke 9:23 says this. Then Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, if you want, because not all want to follow Jesus. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross only on Sundays and follow me. Daily. Daily. But I'm telling you, look, if we see the world in such chaos and darkness today, and yet our Christian life is only about coming to church when it's convenient, I understand why we're the way we are as a church then, worldwide. Because our Christianity is not about others, it's about us. You see, that's why it's called sacrifice. Meaning it's going to cost you something. It's going to be painful. It's going to interrupt in your life. A man said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. If you want to follow me, come now. Jesus said, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back. She's still a pillar of salt somewhere out there in that desert. Until the great fire of God replenishes this whole earth. It says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must. Not you might, or you think about it. You must give up your own way. Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. Are you following Jesus your way or the biblical way? Many times in my Christian life, I've done things my way. But I thank God for His grace and mercy and His patience with me that He develops wisdom and perseverance and faith. Look, some of us are sick physically because you're being disobedient to God. Not all sickness is because of disobedience. But some of it is. We cannot miss the mark of perfection. Jesus is the mark of perfection. If we keep our eyes on Him, we can walk on water. We can live in the supernatural realm of God when the world says it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Matthew 10:38-39. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. If you don't do this, you're not worthy of Jesus. If you're not willing to sacrifice, Jesus Himself says it, you're not worthy of Him. Jesus says if there's no faith, if there's no sacrifice, if there's no humility, you're not worthy of Him. That's why I have said that everyone who goes to hell is worthy of the fires of hell. People, I had someone getting mad at me one time because they said, how could you say that in the pulpit? Be so. I'm like, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you're not worthy of Jesus, you're worthy of hell. Eternal separation. This is a fact. Guys, wake up. You may be on your way to heaven, but what about the people next to you, your loved ones? Today may be the last day that they spend what little heaven that they know of on this earth, and wake up tomorrow in an eternal place of separation. God is light, amen? But in hell, there is no light, amen? God is the breath of life, but in hell, there is no air because He is the breath of life. You get what I'm saying? God is the God of peace, but in hell, there is no peace. You get what I'm saying? God is love, but in hell there is no love because God is not in hell. There is no love. It's an eternal separation from God. And look, It begins with you first, and then it's supposed to overflow into others. If we say that we have fellowship with the cross, then we must bear evidence, biblical faith, evidence that we are who we say we are. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but I am going to say that we are going to see, people are going to see the Spirit of God working in your life. And you are not who you once were. You're growing in your faith. Look, has your faith grown from last year to this year in Jesus? Are you going from faith to faith to a greater faith to a greater faith? You know why? Because you've been through the trials. You've been through the tribulation. You've been through the fire. But you see, it doesn't end until the day you die. You're going to go through temptations. The devil will tempt you, but God will test you. Amen. And so it's all about carrying your cross, Christian, your testimony. The more you go through, the more you have to sing about. The more you go through, the more you have to praise Him about. The more you go through, the louder your faith is. To the world will tell you, shut up! I can't hear you. I don't want to hear you. Amen?
Amen.
Don't worry about that. It's all right. We'll get that later.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you what. Galatians 6:14 says this. Oh, let me finish reading. Verse 39, Matthew 10:39. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. People think they have a good life because they have that career they've been chasing after, that spouse they've been chasing after. All of this they chase after. They think they have found it. They finally get it. Deion Sanders said it perfectly. After, you know, Deion Sanders, one of the greatest athletes in American sports, was able to play Major League Baseball and the NFL. Played it the same season. You know, he is the only player to play in a World Series and a Super Bowl in the same week. He is the only player to hit a home run in Major League Baseball and score a touchdown in NFL in the same week. And one day when he won that Super Bowl trophy, all that he had heard about Jesus, it all came to him. He's like, is this all there is to life? Is this it? Is this all? And he sat in his hotel room chasing something that he thought could bring him peace and joy. And he said, I was still empty. I was still empty. Yeah, I like Deion Sanders. He's a brother in Christ. If you really get to look him up and follow him, he is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he had to go and get everything that all Americans would want, the riches, the fame, and he realized it's nothing. It's nothing. And some of us will chase after something that will never, never bring you peace and bring you joy, make you complete. It's only Jesus Christ. It's what we try to teach the kids in our school here. That's the goal. That's the goal. Galatians 6:14 says this, as for me, Paul says, may I never boast about anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Meaning the world don't want nothing that I have, that's Jesus. And I don't want anything the world has. Because of the cross, part two is coming next week. There's so much more to talk about the fellowship of the cross. Oh my goodness. Just wait till next Sunday. If the Lord allows me to live and I get up here in this pulpit. But I'm going to tell you something. If I'm going to boast, I'm boasting in Jesus. I'm in the company with Paul. I'm going to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. By His wounds, by His stripes, we are healed. Amen. Amen. His sacrifice, His humility, His obedience, His faith, His hope, His love set me free. Amen. And so will yours. It can set others free too. You can be a building block or you can be a stumbling block. You choose.
Amen.
I see too many stumbling blocks in the churches today. Nobody wants to pray anymore. Why? Because they're too busy kneeling at the altar of American culture. That's when you find out who the real believers are, who shows up at the prayer meetings. I'm telling you, when I first heard Leonard Ravenhill, one of the greatest men to live in the 1900s, from 1906 and he passed away in 1994. Never met him, but I went to his grave this summer. Why? Not because I'm going to worship. No. Just to pay respect to a man of God who preached his heart out, and it touched my soul. The same with David Wilkerson. Went to go visit his grave too. They're just a couple of miles apart. Up in Lindale, Texas. Two men I never met, but were mentors to me. And the foundation of their ministry was prayer. 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 Everything is birthed in praying to Jesus. Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." Now, if you want to read some good books out there, get you some Leonard Ravenhill and David Wilkerson books. They're biblical. You'll see what I'm talking about. They'll put the fire of God in you. But it's all centered on prayer. It's all centered on prayer. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." The law of Moses, that is. Being religious, that is. Trying to do things to earn salvation. If you go that route, even today, so many Christians today are starting to worship on Saturdays and, oh, we got to obey the law of Moses. And it's, okay, well, if that is the case, then you need to do everything else that the Levitical law says as well. The circumcision, everything else. Don't eat no more pork, no more seafood. You got to go through all 660 plus laws. It's ridiculous. Christ came to fulfill the law, not abolish it, but to fulfill it. God said that Jesus is what? Lord of the Sabbath. And so if we are in Christ, we are in his rest. And therefore, now we honor the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Every day is holy, not just Sunday, Saturday for the Jews, or Sunday for the Christians. It was funny because the Christians said, "Oh, the Sabbath is Sunday." No, it's not. It was Saturday. But my point is that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and to be in Christ is to honor the Sabbath because he fulfilled it all. Now, have you been crucified with Christ? Is it Christ that's living through you now? Or are you still struggling, holding on to that secret sin? To that sin that brings you spiritual sickness, physical sickness? I told the ministry team this morning, look, I said, it's most important that we be spiritually healthy. But it is also very important that we be physically healthy, that we also eat the right foods, and that we also work out. I prefer cardio. Why? Because, look, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, let's get technical about this then. Okay, well, what did his disciples originally do? They ate fish, a lot of fish. That said omega in there, all that fish he ate, healthy for you. They ate, all their foods were all natural back then. They don't have the diseases we have today. So they ate healthy. And not only that, they walked every single day with Jesus. They went from town to town to town to town. They walked every day. In the wisdom of God, before we ever even understood things, God knew how to take care of the physical body naturally. You see, as technology came, and we got cars and communications and all that, it's done nothing but bring sickness on us. because we become physically lazy and we eat the wrong foods, deep fried this and all of that. Now, don't get me wrong, I love chicken fried steak and I love cheeseburgers, but I don't eat that no more. I can't. You know why? Because it makes me sluggish. It puts me in a diabetic coma. It will. And I thank God that today, the Lord, through discipline, through wisdom, making the right decisions, what I put in my mouth, and what I do with these legs, and what I do with my heart to Jesus, that it's all to Him. Not just the physical things, but the spiritual things. Everything belongs to Jesus. And you want to know why? Because you are the temple of the Lord. Amen. Your physical body, your spiritual body. It all belongs to Jesus. It's Jesus who lives in us now. And so in the book of 3 John, John says, I pray that as your soul prosper, your body prosper as well. We need to start getting discipline and obedience in our life and start eating right and treating this physical body right too. Because look, let me tell you something. If you are doing the spiritual things right, you will do the physical things right. That's it. Hope. Hope. Colossians 2:11 through 15. I want to talk to you about hope. Paul says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of the sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God and who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. That's the devil. He shamed them publicly by Jesus' victory over them on the cross. But if we abuse the cross of Jesus in our lives, then we bring shame to Jesus. We're supposed to bring shame to the kingdom of Satan, to every fallen demon, to every devil out there, to Satan, by us living a holy, godly, sanctified life. We are bringing shame to the kingdom of Satan, to those legions of demons. But when we dishonor the cross of Jesus, we're bringing shame to Him. It's though, the New Testament says, it's though as if you trampled over the blood of Christ all over again. You hear that? New Testament scripture says that. So this is our hope. He canceled our debt. He healed us. He's raised us up. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is our hope. We are people of hope. We are people of faith. And guess what? That hope, it gives birth to commitment. To commitment. You know, in England, if you say, I am committed, they would think you were insane. Because in England, when you use the word committed, they think you belong in an insane asylum. So when you come to America and take the word commitment or committed, it has a totally different slang and meaning. But when we're talking about the Bible, I don't care where you are in the world, the Word of God is the Word of God. Right. We're not to add or take away or, oh, well, it means this in Africa and it means this in Bangladesh. No, it's universal. So, commitment. I'll use that English word from England. I'm not talking about an insane asylum. I'm talking about being committed, meaning being given over to Jesus. That no matter what happens, I'm going to do and follow Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:12 through 19, Peter says this, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. You're going to go through the trials whether you're a Christian or not. But when you say, oh, woe to me, if you're saying woe because of something you did wrong, that's not suffering. You're just reaping what you sow. In the prison ministries, I would always say it, who's suffering? They go, oh, I'm suffering. I'm like, why are you suffering? Well, I'm here. And I'm well, why are you here? Well, because I stole a car. I'm like, well, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Let's talk about what caused you to steal that car. And that's what the scripture says. If you suffer, none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer. That's not suffering. You're just falling into temptation. That's not suffering. As Christians, we ought to know better. King David, he knew all about the kingdom of God, but yet what did he do with Bathsheba? God forgave him. God restored him. But he still had to live with the consequences of his disobedience to God all the days of his life. His son killed his other son. One of his sons raped his daughter. You know what I'm saying? He had his son trying to kill him until the end of it, until God took that young man's life. I mean, his children rebelled all the days of King David's life after that. Trouble never left his house. Why? Because of what he did. Though he was forgiven, he still had to live with the consequences of his sin. And so, that you reap what you sow. God can work through all of that, but you know what? Think before you sin again. Think of how much this is going to cost you if you sin knowingly and you get into that, oh, well, God will forgive me. Think about what it's going to cost you. See, look, when you sin, it hurts others and affects others. But when you are victorious in God, it affects others as well, too. And it saves others. You see what I'm saying? They both have the same effect. You're a building block or you're a stumbling block. Now, here's the thing I see with the church. You need to go out and win some souls. That's not my job. You go out and catch them. You're soul winners. If your Christianity is about, oh, coming to church and then just going and working and just paying the bills, you just don't understand the Spirit-filled life. You're called to testify, to witness, to win souls, to water the seed, to sow the seed of God into the hearts and minds of the people out there. This is evidence of biblical Christianity. Paul says, Peter said, he's committed. You commit your soul. Your desire is to see others saved. If you don't have that desire to see others saved, you need to question your salvation. You may not be saved. If your life is all about work, 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 and me, I got to do this and that, and there's not a hint of wanting to win souls for the lost, you need to get saved. I'm going to be that bold and tell you that. I'm not going to tickle your ears. You only have one shot at heaven and one shot at hell. And you need to decide, are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? And my last scripture, that's hope, that's commitment. Now look, I'm going to tell you the last thing, I saved this for the last, I'm going to talk about love and discipline. Because sometimes I'm up here, I'll say things. In my, 16 years as senior pastor at Grace Christian Center, I have said things that were of the Holy Spirit, and I have said things that were just on my heart and that wasn't right to say. I'm not perfect. And I thank God for those who have been with me all those years. They've stuck it out. I thank God for those people because they understand But I do say, hey, you get up here and try this.
Amen.
This is not easy.
Amen.
It's not easy. You know, I've been in a hospital 2 times for stress over the years. And what does the Lord tell me? Michael, quit stressing. Yes, sir. Eat right. Work out. And pray more. You're not praying. You're not talking to me. You're not being obedient to the scriptures and the words, you know. So, yes, Lord, I have a lot of work to do. So that's why I want to read this to you next. My last scripture, love and discipline, Hebrews 12, 1 through 13. The unknown writer, probably Paul, not for sure, says this. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Just look at that scripture real quickly. The writer is speaking only to the Christian. And look at the power of that scripture. Only the Christian can strip off the weight of sin. Only the Christian can. A Christian will sometimes get tangled up in stuff, but only a Christian, because it's the Holy Spirit, can strip that off. If you're not in Christ, you're bound in your sin until you repent of your sin in the name of Jesus. But look, as a Christian, we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Other Christians are watching us. That's why I tell you, your faith, your Christianity, it's not about you. It's about others. You're going to be a stumbling block or a building block. Your faith is about others. They're watching you. You get what I'm saying? What you do in private, you should also be able to do in public. If you can't do in public what you do in private, it's not glorifying to God. And most likely it's sin. Get it out. Now, you've been told, stop it. You reap what you sow. Cannot fool God. That's why so many in the church are sick and falling away in the faith. Verse 2. How do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Jesus, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. That is what we are to do when we carry our cross. We are to embrace the joy, disregard the shame. We are to endure trials and tribulation. Verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Hallelujah. When you feel weary and want to give up, look to Jesus. What did he go through? He lived. He rose from the dead. You're in him. Verse 4. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. He did it. He did it. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you. That's the power of that scripture. Verse 5. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? Again, I want to speak to you about love and discipline. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Remember Job? Job didn't say, oh, God's punishing me. His friend said it. His wife said it. Why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, get out of here, you crazy woman. No, he didn't say that. But he said, hey, he said, are we only going to bless the Lord when the times are good? He endured it. Job said, I am a child of God, and I don't care what Satan takes from me, my children, and which he did, I'm still going to bless the name of the Lord. How much more today when the book of Revelation says, woe to the earth, for Satan has been cast out of heaven and he has been cast to the earth and he knows his time is short, and woe to the earth, for he comes with vengeance and he comes and he has declared war on those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. War has been declared on you, church. Verse 7. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? Sadly, we have a generation that's fatherless. Verse 8. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Woo! Verse 9, since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in what? His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are what? Trained in this way. You must practice. You must be trained in the ways of God. You can practice evil. You get trained up in the ways of evil. And the opposite is for the kingdom of God. Be trained up in the things of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 12. So take a new grip. You hear that? Take a different approach. Take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. You hear that as a Christian? Take a new grip. Your way is not always the right way. Insane. You've been doing the same thing over and over and over and over and still getting the same results. Stop. You say, you know what? I need to try this God's way. Because if it was God's way, I'd be fine. I'd have joy. I'd have peace. David said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Amen? Amen? Amen. Oh, do you know what that means? The joy of my salvation. You know, when I'm here playing the music, throughout all the years, I've seen people singing and hallelujah, praise God, praise God, but they live like the devil. Amen. And I've seen people sing hallelujah, praise God, and they really have the joy of the Lord, praise God. I've seen people just stand here and just like, and they really have no joy because they don't understand they're singing before the creator of heaven and earth. They just don't understand. I heard a pastor in San Antonio said it one, he has a street ministry. His church is filled up with 90%+ ex-addicts. And he said, lift your hands up, worship the Lord. And, you know, the guy's the same age as me. He's a Hispanic pastor. And I was there in San Antonio, my wife and I, a couple years back. And he raised up his hands. He says, lift the Lord up, come on. And people were doing it, and some people were doing it. He goes, oh, I tell you what. And he said something. He says, it's hard to lift up your hands when you have those chains, huh?
Yes.
And I was like, ooh. Ooh, man. It's hard to lift up those hands when you have chains. Paul said in Scripture, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands. It's biblical. In the church, lift up your hand and testify. You know, when you go to court, go for a judge. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. If you're going to do that to a man, how much more to your Father in heaven? Come on. Oh, my worship is for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Paul says, lift up holy hands. Amen. That's what's wrong with the church. You can't lift up hands in the church. You ain't lifting your life up Amen. To Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, pastor, how do you know that person was going through that? You were right all the time. Well, you just know what the Bible says and you see it right there. You don't have to be, you know, and don't take this the wrong way, but you don't have to be, you know, oh, spirit filled. The Bible just teaches us these things.
Amen.
You know, But how much more when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you have the spirit of discernment and you, church, you see what's going on out there. That should drive you to the prayer room. That should drive you to be praying with the church. That should drive you to say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to start fasting over this. I'm going to start fasting over that. But nobody wants that discipline in their life. Nobody has the love in there. They say they love, but they really don't. Jesus said, the world will know my disciples by the love they have for one another. Grace Christian Center don't have the love of God like we should. All the churches are like that. We don't have the love of God like we should. And it begins with the pastor. And so if the pastor says, you know what? It's all Jesus. If the pastor gets in order and starts walking with the Lord, everybody else needs to too. Because if not, you're going to start seeing church splits. You'll start seeing that. Because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? So the pastor needs to follow Jesus. And when the pastor follows Jesus, then the people are going to start following Jesus because they're following the pastor, but they're really following Jesus. Paul said, we are all examples. We are all examples. We are all examples. We're all building blocks for each other. We're example. The Bible says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Isn't that what Paul said too? And so as the pastors, we have an ultimate responsibility. We have a greater judgment coming to us. Well, what does Paul tell Timothy in the book of Timothy? He says, guard your doctrine, Timothy. He says, guard your doctrine because in doing this, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. Paul says, not everybody should count themselves as a teacher of the Word of God. Why? They will be held more accountable. I ran from this pulpit for 15 years. I've been a pastor now for 16 years. I can't believe I was gone from the pulpit for that long, 15 years. I remember the first time I preached as a young kid, teenager, and I just felt the power of God. But I got attacked. I was a musician, still am, but I got attacked by that. And I said, no, I want to still play music of the world. And that kept me away from the things of God for 15 years. And you know, God is so worthy of all. And so whatever it is that's holding you back, it's not worth it. Receive the healing now. Give glory to God now. Amen. Let's finish this. Verse 13. It says here, verse 12, I'm sorry, verse 12 and 13. Let's reread this. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Amen. Who's tired this morning? Who has weak knees spiritually? Ain't gonna raise your hand. You're like, come on now. Mark out, verse 13 says, mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Look, read that. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Look deep into that, what that is saying. Mark a straight path for your feet so that others will become strong. You see that? Get your life straight so others will become strong. Get your life straight so others will be strengthened in Jesus' name. Your Christianity is not about you. It's about others. So now, why do we come pray? Because it's for others. If you just look at it, oh man, we got church on Monday, men's. We got Wednesday prayer. We got Friday this. We got Sunday that. Man, when do I have time to do all this other stuff? You know what? Hey, you know, I would love to leave this world today to go be with Jesus. I have a lot of treasure in heaven. I've got some kids to go see up there. Yeah, I have kids here on this earth, but you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm ready. But if God says, stay and occupy, then in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to punch that devil in the face. It's easy to be a man of sin. It's not easy to be a man of God. But only in Jesus' name can you be a man or a woman of God. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Who are the chosen? You know, the Marines have that, the few, the proud, the Marines. We have a couple of Marines that are currently in, former Marines, right? Okay. But you know what? Even the world understands that. You know, we as Christians, we're just a few, but we're not alone. And we're proud in Jesus. Amen. And we are the chosen. We were not just called, but we have been chosen for such a time as this. This is part one in Fellowship of the Cross, evidence of biblical faith. Next week, if the Lord allows me, we will have Fellowship of the Cross, biblical Christianity. It's going to go even deeper.